wonderful church ordinance that Jesus gave 2,000 years ago. You get to see a picture of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which is the gospel message in picture form. And that's done every time that you see a baptism. Matthew chapter 27, we're going to finish today the series that we began. This is the fourth week. We began it 4 weeks ago. And we're looking at the miracles of Calvary. And different people use different numbers. I think there's four. I took Matthew 27, and we're looking at verse 50 through verse 54 is where we're at this morning. So let's go ahead and read those texts, and you watch for the miracles we've already covered. But let's go ahead and look at verse 50. Jesus, when he cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. That's yielded up the spirit. His spirit left his body. What does that mean happened to him? He died. That's what the definition of death is the spirit leaves your body. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. That was the second miracle. Actually, the first miracle is in verse 45. Whenever Jesus died on the cross, there was darkness from 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock. I mean, midday became midnight. So that was a miracle, of course. And then the next miracle was, as we just read, the rent veil at the temple. There's a thick set of curtains that stood before the Holy of Holies, which was where God dwelled at in Israel, in his house. And that was ripped the moment he died. It was ripped out right down the middle from the top to the bottom. That was the second miracle. The next miracle in verse 51, and the earth did quake. And the rocks did rent. That was last week's miracle we looked at. I'm not going to rehash those. If you'd like to hear the sermon on those, in the back, say glass table, write your name down, and you'd like to have those CDs, and we'll give you a copy of them in the next couple weeks. And here's the one we want to look at today. And the graves were opened. And the graves were opened. Everybody see that? And many of the bodies of the saints which slept arose. Now, the word slept just means they died. When the spirit leaves the body looks just like it's doing what? Sleeping. And, of course, the spirit goes, if you're saved, and the spirit goes to be with Christ. Now, notice verse 53. And they came out of the graves. And they came out of the graves after. I want you to see that. After his resurrection. After his resurrection. So that's the miracle we're going to look at this morning. And he went into the holy city and appeared unto many. And they went into the holy city and appeared unto many. So these saints that arose went into the city of Jerusalem and appeared unto many. Okay? Now, when the centurion, this is one of the Roman guards, of course, that was at the cross, when they that were with him saw those things which were done, it says that they feared greatly and said, truly, this was the Son of God. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we're thankful for, again, another opportunity to minister your word. I consider this the highest honor on planet Earth, Lord, to be able to stand before people and proclaim what your word teaches. I know you could use someone else, but Lord, you give me an honor, and I just pray that you'd help me to be able to do so. In spirit and truth. And I pray that what will come out today would glorify the Lord. Lord, we're thankful today for the salvation in Christ Jesus. If there be anyone here today that's not saved, maybe through this message their hearts would be opened and they would come to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We pray for those that perhaps are saved, that's never been scripturally baptized. We pray that you'd move them to obey the Lord in baptism. Father, continue to add and continue to save. But Lord, now as we break the bread of life, we pray that your power would be here today in service. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now we're going to do this real simple. What we're going to do, first of all, I'm going to give you the details about this, and I'm going to do that in question form so you can think your way through a little bit. And then we're going to look at the significance of it, the details, then the significance of it. When the Lord does a miracle, he does it for a reason. The rent veil was teaching a lesson. It was showing the way to God. The darkness was teaching a lesson. It was showing darkness is always associated with God's judgment. And at Calvary that day, someone was being judged. Did you realize it? Jesus was being judged for our sin. That's why he turned it dark. The earthquake meant something. And the rocks rending meant something. You know what it meant? It meant something big just happened. The price of our redemption had just been paid, and the beginning of the new covenant had just began. So all the previous miracles pointed to some particular truth that the Lord wanted to put emphasis on that day. Well, this particular one does the same thing. So here's some questions we're going to ask, and I'm going to ask them, and then I'm going to answer them as we go. You can write these down. Now, I want you to notice whose graves were opened. Whose graves were opened? Well, you look at that, verse 52 again, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints. It wasn't every grave open, but it was many of the graves of the saints. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. We've almost lost the word saints today. I mean, we really have. You don't have it used that often. We use the term Christian. And the term Christian is okay. But it's only used about three times in Scripture. The word saints used many times. It's used in the Old Testament. It's used in the New Testament. So I want to point out that the graves that opened when Jesus died were just the graves of the saints. Many of the saints. I'm sure, obviously, not all of them. But many of them. Don't tell you how many, so don't even ask me. It just says many. It could have been 100. It could have been 1,000. But at the moment of Christ's death, those graves opened. But it was just the graves of the saints is what I want you to see. You know what a saint is? A saint's a super Christian. No, that's not what a saint is. A saint is anyone that's trusted in the blood of Jesus Christ. If you're here today and saved, the Scripture views you as a saint. You become a saint in Christ Jesus the moment you trust Christ Jesus. You become a saint while you're living. It's eternally too late to become a saint after you're dead. You become a saint based on what Jesus did, not based on what you do. Now, if you'll keep that in mind, you can understand what a saint is. You become a saint the day that you trusted Jesus Christ. So the people whose bodies, whose graves opened that day was just graves of people that were saved. Everybody see that? Number two, when did they open? If you look back up at verse 50, Jesus, when he cried with a loud voice, yielded up his spirit, and behold, the veil rent, the earth did quake, and the graves were open. It happened in conjunction with Jesus' death. Everybody get that? The moment Jesus died, not only did the veil rent, not only did the earth quake, but the graves opened. Now, if you've ever seen any pictures of Jerusalem, it shows their graveyards. They have big stone coffins, and they have sepulchers. A little bit different than the way we do things, but they were stone, and they're old looking. And what happened is, now, the earthquake could have opened them up. That's indeed a possibility with regard to the graves. Because remember, the earthquake hit, it rent the rocks, but it could have also been the means of opening those graves also, but just of the saints. Just of the saints. It means, for instance, if there had been a rock in front of it, it would have been split down the middle, perhaps, and opened the front of it. So the graves were open. Now, honestly, you don't hear a lot of preaching on that. I can't remember ever hearing a sermon on this particular subject. Never, because it's... It's a difficult text. Boy, but it's got rich meaning in it. And I'm going to show you what it was putting emphasis on here just a little bit. But it was the graves of the saints. And they opened the moment that Jesus died. I mean, that's a lot happening. Now, I'll tell you one thing. If you was that old Roman centurion, it shook him up. He said, truly, this is the Son of God. He spent 3 hours. He was standing there by the cross that day. And... He seen the sun go down and it become dark as midnight for 3 hours. That shook him up. Then the moment Jesus died, the earth started quaking. And then the graves opened. I mean, it was a frightening thing. If you was there that day, it would have frightened you. It was something big just happened, obviously, for all these things to take place. And the Lord was drawing emphasis on many great truths as we've done looked at in this particular text. So, now, when did they resurrect is our third question. When did they resurrect? It's important for you to see that. Did you look when they resurrected? Verse 53. They came out of the graves after His resurrection. When did they open up, though? They opened up the moment Jesus died. But they never came out till 3 days later. Or later on than that. But they came out later. But they came out after Jesus resurrected. I think that has significance. I think that has significance, which we'll bring out later. Okay? So, the graves were opened at the moment Jesus died. And then 3 days later, they come out after Jesus resurrected. Everybody got that? So, you keep that also in mind. Number four. Here's the fourth question. Moving rapidly, but you need to know the details for it to make any sense to you. Number four. Did they have glorified bodies? Now, here's where you get the debate. I don't think there is much of a debate on it. I believe they did. I believe they got glorified bodies. And there's some good men that disagree with me on that, which that's fine too. We all agree that they resurrected. But the difference is, did they receive glorified bodies? You say, well, Jeff, what's a glorified body? Well, it's a body that's like Christ. It'll be a body that doesn't, you know, we're looking forward to that. You know, this body that I'm living in now, I'm just going to live in that for just a little while. And you know, so are you. If you're saved, there'll be a day that I get a glorified body. It'll be a body that doesn't get sick. It'll be a body without sin. It'll be a body that don't age. It'll be a body that never experiences pain, sorrow, or death. It's sin-proof. It'll be sin-proof, sick-proof, sorrow-proof, and death-proof. All God's people said. That belongs to God's people. Now, there's a coming resurrection. We'll talk about that later in the sermon. There's a coming resurrection, and that's when God's people receive their glorified bodies. But I believe these here also received the glorified body. I believe they did. And you say, well, why do you think they did? One main reason. Because they waited till after He resurrected. Jesus resurrected Lazarus from the dead, the widow of Nain's son from the dead. Jesus resurrected Jairus from the dead, Jairus' daughter from the dead, I should say. But when He resurrected these people in His earthly ministry, what happened to them later? They died again. They didn't have a glorified body. He just kind of revived their old body. And then they died. Jesus was the first to resurrect, never to die again. That's the difference. These people, these saints that were raised, it makes a point to tell you they never come up. Now, that's not no big deal. They could have came up before Jesus died. I mean, before Jesus resurrected, if they were like Lazarus, if they were like the widow of Nain's son, and then died again, there wouldn't have been no point to waiting till after the resurrection. But since they got glorified bodies, that's why it stresses that they resurrected afterwards, because Jesus is said in 1 Corinthians 15 to be the first fruits of them that slept. I think it's why it comes after. So I believe they did get glorified bodies. I believe that they were the first fruits of the coming harvest that's coming at the second coming. That's why I believe. Now, if you don't want to believe they had glorified bodies, go for it. That's fine. That's not going to change anything that this is picturing anyhow. But I do believe they got them. And I believe they got them because it stresses it happened after He resurrected. That's the purpose of it. Or He could have resurrected them before His resurrection, then they died again. Jesus was the first to resurrect, never to die again. You got all that? All right, now we can preach. I'm warmed up now and I'm ready to go. And we'll go ahead and move on to the significance of this great event. It has great significance. Here's the first significance of it. I think when Jesus died and those graves came open, I think it signified victory over death. I think that's what it's saying. At the very moment Jesus died, what happened to the graves? They come open. Graves of what? Graves of the saints. And I think it signified that through Jesus' death comes victory. I want you to listen to it. Victory over death. Folks, I hate death, don't you? I despise it, the sorrow and the suffering and the grief that it brings to folks. I've seen it so much. But I'll tell you one thing, folks. God's people, God's saints, because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ and the death of Jesus Christ, we have victory over death. And the moment that Jesus died, those graves were open. I believe that's what we're saying. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want to show you this grand text here. I love this text of Scripture. Preached from it many times over the years. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. What's the significance of the open graves the moment Jesus died? It said victory over death. Because Jesus died, the graves are open, and we have victory over the grave. Isn't that wonderful? Now notice what it says here in 1 Corinthians 15. I want you to listen real close to what it says. Verse 55 says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? It says, the sting of death is sin. Now here's what I want you to listen to. Now there's something every one of us have in common today. You know what it is? We're all going to die if the Lord don't come. Now I don't like to think about myself dying, but I could die tomorrow. Do you agree? Or today, we don't know when that is. We all often say one thing is sure, death and taxes. Death is sure. It's going to happen. People like to put it way off, but you just don't know when it's going to be. Well, it says death has a sting, doesn't it? It talks about the sting of death. There's a stinger in it. What is a sting? Scorpions have a sting, and that's the part, that's the deadly part, and that's the part that you need to stay away from. The most important thing in the world, I feel, is to have victory over death. But yet that is something that people never do consider. Many times, folks, until it's entirely too late. We all know we're going to. We don't like to think about it. We don't like to be reminded of it. But my friend, if He doesn't come, we're going to. And we need to have that sting of death completely removed, see? So, it says here that the sting of death is sin. Now, because of sin, death has a sting in it. Because of sin, death has a sting in it. And that's another thing we have in common. Not only are we all going to die one day, but we've all sinned. We're all alike that way. You say, well, Jeff, I haven't sinned. Talk to me after services and I'll show you where you're wrong. We've all of us have sinned. Well, because you sinned, death has a sting in it now. And the sting of death is the curse of the law. We broke God's law. Therefore, we have, you remember me saying all the time, we have a curse over us. It's called a sin debt. The greatest debt you owe is not your house payment. The greatest debt you owe is a sin debt. And that's over you. It's over you all. Over everyone that's sinned. So the reason why death has a sting is because of what else? Sin. Now let's read on. It says the strength of sin then is the law, because the law says that you're cursed because you broke it. That's why it says the strength of sin is the law. God's law says you're cursed. You broke me. You owe me a death. Okay? What's verse 57 say? Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, because of my sin curse, I faced an eternal punishment from the presence of God. 2,000 years ago, something great happened. Jesus substituted, rather than me dying forever, Jesus died instead. And instead of me taking the sting, Jesus took the sting instead. And the moment He got through paying the price of our sin debt, the moment He died, what did the Lord do? He opened the grave. What did that signify? Victory. Thanks be to God, it says, for giving us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that a wonderful thing? And that's what the open grave signified, victory over death through the death of Jesus Christ. Is there anything any more important than that? One of the things that happen whenever someone passes is, what's the first question people ask the preacher? Does anybody know? You think they're ready? And you know the hardest thing for a preacher to say? I don't know. I don't know whether they were or not. They never did say anything about it. I knew they knew, but I don't know whether they did. I've told them many times, but I don't know whether they did or not. Boy, it's rough, because you can't really, man, when you can go in and say, hey, yep, they received Jesus as their Savior. I was there when they done it. They told me they trusted the Messiah. Oh, that's such a comfort to a family. Do you agree? I think it's the greatest thing a man or a woman can leave behind for their family. The knowledge that you as a man, that you as a woman, have received Jesus as your Savior. Because when your time comes, there's no sting in it. You say, well, Jeff, God's people still die. You're absolutely right. But there's no sting in it. There's no sting in it for them. You ever notice how God's Word describes death in it for God's people? Paul said, for me to live is Christ, but to die is a what? It's a gain. You say, well, Jeff, how could it be a gain? Because they, like Chastity sung about, they get to see the Lord's glory. Their faith becomes sight. They get to depart to be with Christ. They get to go to a land where there's no sickness, pain, sorrow, or death. Are they better? Scripture says they're far better. See, it takes the sting out of death. No sting there. It's going to come a day that old Jeff's going to pass. When I pass, it'd be horrible, won't it? For you? Won't that be horrible for you? Somebody say amen. But I'll be far better off than any of you the day that I go. Day I go, I'll be far better off than any of you again. You say, why is it? Yet Jesus. Jesus won the victory. He paid my sin debt on Calvary. See? You see, what all he did was with death is it's just another means God reaches down and pulls his people home. So what it is. Isn't that wonderful? Victory. That's why we sing that song, Victory in Jesus. Victory over what? Victory over death. Do you have this today? Do you have it? Do you have it and know it? You say, Jeff, are you afraid to die? Yeah, absolutely. It scares me to think about it. But I know when the time comes, the Lord will supply sufficient grace. I've seen Him do it many times. But I know where I'm going. I don't know what my future holds from here on out. But past this world, I know what lies ahead. Isn't that wonderful? You got victory over death. When did that happen? Jesus took the sting for me. Took the sting out of death. And the day you receive Jesus as your Savior, He gives you the victory. Remember the old thief on the cross? Boy, he was a heathen, wasn't he? He went from being a thief to a saint. He went from being a thief to a saint. He said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. That man didn't have a thing to offer the Lord. You know, the Lord couldn't take him down off the cross and baptize him. Does everybody admit that? He couldn't. There's a lot. Look at a lot of things he couldn't do. You could say he was on his deathbed because he was going to die there in just a little bit. He began to be concerned about his future, which was very about to go into eternity here in just a little bit. He said, Lord, remember me. You know, Scripture says that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what it says. You know what Jesus said? Today you'll be with me in paradise. That's victory over death. To go from earth to paradise is victory. To have the sting taken away is victory. I can't think anything any better than that. I want you to have that so bad. I want you to have that so bad. And if you'll receive Jesus as your Savior, you'll have the victory. So that's the first significance of this opening of the graves. When you look at the moment that happened, it happened at the moment He died, and it signified victory, victory over death. Number two. Go ahead and turn to Revelation chapter 20. I'm almost done. I try to... Well, you won't believe me if I say it. Just go ahead and turn to Revelation 20. Revelation chapter 20. What's the first importance? What did it signify when the graves opened? What's the first one I gave you? It signified victory over death because it was done in conjunction with Jesus' death. He died, the graves opened. Victory. Okay? What else did it signify? Well, we have to talk about the resurrected saints now. Not only did the graves open, but many of the saints arose after he resurrected. Well, that would have been something. Now, I don't know who the saints was. I don't know who their names was. I don't know if they'd been dead for years. I don't know if they just died 5 months earlier. I don't know. It just says many of the saints arose and appeared to many in the city. They went into Jerusalem. You imagine that shook people up? Imagine that it did. Now, they may have not went to the lost people. They probably just went and to the saved people, but I don't have nothing for that either. The only reason why I say that was is whenever the rich man wanted to send Lazarus back from the grave to warn his brothers. You remember that story? Remember? Abraham said it wouldn't send him back because he said they have Moses and the prophets. And Moses and the prophets are the scriptures. If they won't listen to the scriptures, then they won't listen if even someone went back from the dead and told them about it. That's how strong God's Word is. And that's how the Holy Spirit uses God's Word. So I'm of the opinion that they appeared to other saved people. And for that reason right there that I just gave you. Okay? Now, I think it signifies a future resurrection of the saints. I think these, as I said earlier, I think they got glorified bodies. And I think this was kind of a first fruits of what was coming. I think this was the first fruits of a much greater harvest that was coming later. 1 Corinthians 15 says Christ is the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ that is coming. But I do also think that the second coming is likened to a harvest. And one of these days, God's going to harvest this place. He's going to bring out of the graves, is going to come a glorified body for all of God's people. Until that day comes, I think back there was the first fruits of the coming harvest of the saints. I think that's what it was. I think it signified victory over death. I think it also signified a future resurrection of the saints. I think it did both of those. Resurrection Day. I don't call graveyards anymore. I call them resurrection ground. Because that's all that it is. Resurrection ground. I'll go look at some plot somewhere and say, that's a beautiful piece of resurrection ground. It's a good place to come up at. Resurrection ground. Without the death of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus, which is the gospel, you would have no resurrection of the saints. There would be no first resurrection. There would only be a resurrection to be damned. Because Jesus died and rose again, gave victory over death, we as God's people look forward to a resurrection day. You say, well, where's the saints at now? Well, in spirit, they're with the Lord. In spirit, they're with the Lord. But one of these days, they're going to get a body. The body like I described earlier in the service. A body that is without sin, a body that never gets sick, and a body that never ages. 1 John chapter 3 says that when we see Jesus, that we will be like Him. Without sin. I just can't imagine. We sing that song, I Can Only Imagine. It's hard to imagine. But that's what's going to be. Notice what it says in Revelation chapter 20. It says, verse 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. All right, now if you don't mind, just look up here at me just a moment. Do you see where it says first resurrection? You know why it says first? Because there's two. There's two resurrections. There's a resurrection of the saints, but there'll also be a resurrection of the lost. There's two of them. Guess which one you want to go in? You want to go in the first one. Because on the first one, the sting has no touch upon them. Notice what this says now. Let's go ahead and look at it. Verse 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. What's it say? For on such... on such, the second death doesn't have any power. What is the second death? Look down in the text, Revelation chapter 20. Let's begin at verse 14. And death and hell was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. That's the second death. Those that go in the first resurrection, the second death doesn't have any power. Why doesn't it have any power? Because Jesus paid all their condemnation on the cross. There's nothing left for them to pay. Jesus paid it all. They've been washed by the blood. And now they have victory over death. And they're going to get a new resurrected body the day that Jesus Christ comes. Because He died and rose again, there'll be a resurrection of the saints. Oh, man. I don't know how long it's going to be before the Lord does that. The Lord doesn't tell us. But I've sat in cemeteries and got overwhelmed in thinking about that. Just got overwhelmed imagining what it's going to be like. The trumpet of God sounding. And then the dead raised. The dead in Christ, it says in 1 Thessalonians 4. The dead in Christ rise first. Wouldn't you love to be standing there? I'd love to be standing there when they come out. I think it'd be an awesome. They'll open, they'll come out. You say, well, do they have to open to come out? Nope. They don't have to open to be come out. Remember when Jesus in His glorified body, He could just pass through and appear. They may just come out. I don't know. But I know they're coming out. The day you place them in the ground or wherever, just like sowing a seed in the ground, that one day is going to come out a whole lot better than it went in. Isn't that great? What does people have that don't have what I'm talking about? What do you have if you don't have victory over death? Let's think about it just logically, just a little bit before I wrap things up. Each tick of that clock's bringing you closer to what? Retirement. Resting, enjoying life, building a cabin by the lake, fishing and hunting all the time. Is that what you're looking forward to? Then what? Then what are you going to do? Take it to its logical end. Then what's going to happen? And you're going to die. Each tick brings you closer to it. If you don't have this victory, I'm going to tell you something. You don't have nothing. All the possessions you have, listen to me now. I know now. I'm telling you. All the possessions you have, you're just renting them anyhow. You're going to leave them behind here. They're not going with you. There's only one thing you're going to. If you're saved, you're going to go to the Father's house. And you're going to go to your true riches. In the story of the rich man and Lazarus in Luke 16, you know who the rich man was? Lazarus. Because when he died, he had victory over death. And he went to be with the Lord. You need this victory. And you need to go in the resurrection of the just. There's a resurrection of the just and the unjust. There's a resurrection to life. And there's also a resurrection of the damned. And the damned will be brought up also at another time. And they'll stand before the Lord in Revelation 20. And they'll be judged for their sin. You say, well, why ain't we judged for our sins? My sins were judged in Jesus. My sins done been paid for. That's why Romans 8 says, now listen to this real tight. There is therefore now, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. If you're in Christ Jesus, no condemnation. If you're not in Christ Jesus, you face condemnation. Job in Job 19, seeing what I was talking about through the Holy Spirit. Job didn't know, I think Job thought he was dying. I mean, he had sores from head to toe. Looked like he was cursed. Nobody wanted anything to do with him. He'd lost all of his children. I think he had 7 sons and 3 daughters. I believe that's how that went. 10. He met 10 children on one day. Lost all of his wealth. Lost everything it looked like, but he didn't lose everything. Old Job said this. He never lost his heavenly hope. He said, though the skin worms destroy this body, yet in the flesh, one day I'll see God. God's people never lose that. He said, I know my Redeemer liveth and shall stand at latter day upon the earth. And though the skin worms destroy this body, yet in the flesh, one day I'll see God. Do you believe in a resurrection? He sure did. Oh, Isaiah saw it too. Isaiah talked about one day that with his dead body, the earth would cast out the dead. Is that a resurrection? That's a resurrection. And I think that's the significance. That when Jesus died, the graves were opened, signifying victory over death. 3 days later, these saints resurrected, signifying one of these days. Because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, God's people will resurrect, having victory. And we will sing this on that day, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We'll have a word of prayer, and then I'm going to go back and have Brother Glenn come up, and we'll get ready for our baptism. But we're going to have a word of prayer. We'll bring the young people over so they can watch. If you're here today and unsaved, you've never been saved, I'm going to encourage you to receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior right now. You don't have to wait till tomorrow. But I'm going to tell you something. You're going to make a decision now. You're going to make a decision now, one way or the other. You say, well, I'm going to wait and make the decision later. That's still no matter how you slice it. We'll ask you to trust Him. The Bible says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord, Lord, I want to receive the victory in Jesus. And He'll save your soul right there where you sit. Won't you call upon the name of the Lord and receive Him as your Savior today? Let us pray. Father in heaven, we're thankful, Lord, for this message and for this series on the miracles of the cross. Lord, it's blessed my heart to share with the people these things. And Father, we just pray now that as this message is going forth, we pray that You'd use it to touch people's hearts and to show them the need of victory over the grave and the greatness of the salvation that we have in You. Whether I can preach, but that's all I can do, I can't open a heart. But Lord, I pray that You do. May someone right now receive Jesus as their Savior. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Just remain seated. Ask Brother Glenn.